Hello.
Blog Talk John Radio.
Oh, yeah. Hello, this is Dr. John Stamey, and I am here with the students and with some students and one of their teachers. Ms. Bohannon, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. Now, if you would tell us where the school is and a little bit about the students that we're talking to and the program that they're in, please.
Yes, we are with Explore Community School, which is an elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee. We are a project-based learning school, and for our what we call our project explorations. For explorations right now, the students are creating a podcast. They brainstorm different ideas to ask and to kind of have their podcast be about, and they decided to ask the question, is Bigfoot real?
Okay, well, that's an interesting story, question. So, yeah, let's get started. I'd be glad to start fielding some questions.
Yeah, okay. So here we have Ray Kwan, who is going to ask your first question. Yeah.
Hey there,
hey,
Ray Kwan. How are
coming.
You doing?
Good.
Great.
Can you explain your job to us?
I certainly can. I'll be glad to do that. I run a number of Comic-Cons and pop culture conventions and festivals. I started out 5 years ago with one in Wilmington, North Carolina, on the coast, and now I run right around 10 of them. And the one that's coming up, the reason that we're talking is because I run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and that's in Clayton, Georgia, in the northeast corner of Georgia. I also run the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and that's at Bays Mountain Park on top of the mountain there in Kingsport, Tennessee. So that's what I do, and I also have a company. We draw cartoon drawings of people called caricatures. It's called Carolina Caricatures, and we're located in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, on the boardwalk. But my primary job is to run these conferences and bring speakers in and bring people there to listen to them, and hopefully everybody learns a lot and has a good time.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Does that answer your question?
Yeah,
thank you. Okay, and here we have Malone for our second question.
Hello, Malone. How are you doing?
Good.
Great.
My question is, what evidence have you found for the existence of Bigfoot?
Well, Bigfoot craze started from the Patterson-Gimlin. There was a man named Mr. Patterson and Mr. Gimlin, and they took some footage of a Bigfoot in California, and that was on October 20th, 1967, way before all of us were born. Well, not too far before I was born, but way before you were born. Now, a lot of people have looked at the footage and claimed that it's fake. But, on the other hand, a lot of people claim that it is real, and they have done a lot of tests on it, and they can actually see not only the one Bigfoot who is walking along the edge of a river, but they can see others in the woods back in there. So, you know, it's very interesting that that footage got everything started. We also have pictures. Now, many of those pictures are not very clear, but we've got some photos of Bigfoot, and we have a number of casts of footprints. And when I'm talking about a cast, I'm talking about taking plaster or something like that, and you pour it in the footprint on the ground, and it will dry. And then you pick it up, and that's called a cast of a footprint. So we have a lot of those. And those footprints don't look anything at all like humans or any animals, because they look a little bit like a human, but they're like 12, 14, 16 inches long, much longer than a human footprint. So we've got those plaster casts. We've also got some documents from the Forest Service that were printed way back in the 60s that actually list Bigfoot as one of the species of animals in Washington State. And also, there are a lot of stories, and these were actually compiled by the government. There are a lot of stories of the settlers who came and moved west from the East Coast, and Tennessee and Nashville, where you are, is close to the East Coast. But there were a lot of settlers moving on west toward California and toward the Pacific Ocean. And they had a lot of reportings of sightings of Bigfoot in the 1800s and even into the 1900s. So we have evidence in terms of people's stories. We have casts of footprints, and we have footage that has been taken. Patterson-Gimlin is not the only footage that we've had. So, you know, there are three major sources of evidence. I have seen, I believe, a Bigfoot. I saw it walking across Highway 17, just south of Pawleys Island, which is near Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach is the big beach resort over here on the East Coast. And I believe I have seen a Bigfoot. And I have had a number of people tell me their stories. So there seems to be, Malone, a lot of evidence around about Bigfoot, about the existence of Bigfoot. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
All right. Next, we have Zai, who has a question for you.
Hello. How are you doing today?
What
do you want to know?
Have there been sightings of Bigfoot in Tennessee? Can you tell us more about these?
There have been a lot of sightings of Bigfoot in Tennessee, somewhere close to 2,000 that have been recorded by one particular agency, and I'll explain that just a little bit later. But in the mountains of Tennessee especially, there are so many sightings. I run the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference every year, and people come to it, and they are grateful to have a place where they can tell their stories about Bigfoot sightings. So I think the best story that I know happened just outside of Tennessee to a very good friend of mine, Matthew Delf. He's a Bigfoot explorer, and this is what got him started when he was 19. And it's just north of Tennessee, but it's a good story because I know it well, and it's very close to Tennessee. So here goes. He was 19 years old, and his parents lived in a wooded area. There was a forest there, and they lived at the end of a road. And so it was very secluded. Not many people were around. He came home on Saturday afternoon. This was after Thanksgiving. None of his parents nor his brothers and sisters were there. But he was there to go deer hunting. It was one of the first days of deer season. And so he was wanting to go back in the woods behind his house and do some deer hunting. So he did. And he had never heard the sounds like he heard before. He was maybe about a mile away from his house. And then all of a sudden, something started pitching small rocks and twigs at him, and he was beginning to get the impression that something or somebody didn't want him around. So he started walking very quickly toward the creek. There was a creek between him and his house. So he got there, and something was still pitching rocks at him and growling at him. So he turned around. He wanted to see what it was. So he heard heavy, heavy footsteps walking faster and faster and faster toward him. And it slowed down about 30 to 40 feet from him, and he could see a shoulder, a hair-covered shoulder, and part of an arm. And he heard a growl. And he decided that he better get the heck out of there because something bad could happen to him. No one was around his parents' home, and he could just be gone in the woods, and nobody would ever know what happened to him. So he ran, and he even heard this creature, which he believes to be Bigfoot, running after him for a while until he got over that river, that little creek that was between where he was and the house. So he got over that. He looked back, didn't see anything, ran as fast as he could up to his parents' house. He jumped into his truck, started it up, screeched out of the driveway, and he was gone. He didn't want any part of what that was, but he said he came just too close to seeing something that looked to be about 8.5 feet tall and didn't seem to be happy and didn't look like anything he had ever seen. So that's my best Bigfoot story.
Okay. Awesome.
Is that okay? Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Miss Mohanna said that you live in a different state.
Yes.
But all the other Bigfoot hunters are coming. Well, you're not.
Well, we have Bigfoot hunters all over the country. We really do. And when I will have a conference. A conference is a meeting of a group of people where they listen to talks and they get together and talk among each other. So we've got the one coming up in Georgia on April the 27th. And then I have the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. That's coming up on the 26th through the 28th of October of this year. And I have Bigfoot hunters coming in from all over. Primarily, they'll be coming from the North and South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, and Virginia. Maybe some from Indiana. But that's primarily where they will be coming from to go to these two conferences that I run.
Thank you.
Okay, great. And we have one more question from Paula.
Great. From Paula. Hello, Paula. How are you?
Good. Paula, what advice do you have for us as we continue to search for evidence in our area?
Now, that's a great question, Paula. And here's what I decided to do. I decided to answer this question by asking you folks some questions. I want to get you excited and teach you a little bit about some of the things that you would want to think about if you were trying to find more evidence about Bigfoot. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, Ms. Bohannon, I would like for you to ask them a question. Ask them to raise their hand if they truly believe in the existence of Bigfoot, and tell me how many raised their hand. Do you mind doing that?
Okay. Yeah, of course. So raise your hand if you truly believe in the existence of Bigfoot. One, two. Ooh, an even 50-50 split. Two raised hands.
So two of them believe in Bigfoot. Now,
yes.
Of the other two, are either of them unsure about the existence of Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know.
Are you unsure? What about you, Zai? Are you unsure or you definitely don't believe?
I don't believe.
Okay, we have one who just does not believe and one who is unsure.
Okay, that's great. That's great. So we got 50% believe, 25% are not sure, and 25% don't believe. Now, ask of the two that believe, why do they believe? What is the reason that they believe? Would you mind asking them and see what they say?
Yeah, who can share? Who can share why you believe in Bigfoot? Malin?
Because I sort of believe in magical things.
Okay.
Raekwon, why do you believe in Bigfoot? You know, you just do? And we have one who just believes.
Just do. No, that's a good reason. You just do. Ms. Bohannon, there are things that you just believe in, and you don't need anyone to tell you why. You just believe in them, whatever they are, right?
Right.
So that's a good answer. That's as good as any answer. Now, for the ones that don't believe that, okay, for the one that does not believe, ask that person why they don't believe.
Zai, can you share why you don't believe in Bigfoot?
I don't believe in Bigfoot because
why? Why don't you believe in Bigfoot?
I just don't.
She just doesn't.
Okay. That is fine. That's a good enough answer. Just don't. Just don't. Now, I've got for the two that believe, where do they think Bigfoot lives? Ask them that if you would please.
Where do you think Bigfoot lives?
In the woods.
In the woods. Okay. Milan, where do you think Bigfoot lives?
California.
In the woods and in California.
That's great.
Those are good answers. Now, I've got five things that I want to mention. Now, if Bigfoot did not exist, why would all of the American Indians have come up with a name for the Bigfoot creature? And in fact, one tribe of American Indians over here in the Southeast has over 60 different names for Bigfoot. If Bigfoot doesn't exist, why would the Indians have a name for that creature?
Because he's
any idea? Do you have any idea?
So the question is, if Bigfoot wasn't real, why would all of Native Americans have a name for him?
Because he's big, giant, hairy, and has big feet.
So basically because he exists. Okay. Well, that's good enough. Ms. Bohannon, we kind of boil that down to because they think he exists. That's why they have names for him, right?
Yeah, because they would have had to have seen him in order to be able to describe him, like Zai said.
Right. That's a great answer. Now, here's another one. After 100 years of having pretty good cameras, why don't we have at least one really good, sharp picture of Bigfoot? We have all these blurry pictures, but why, after 100 years, hasn't someone been lucky enough to snap one really good picture?
Don't we have a really good picture of Bigfoot?
A really good picture? Because they're not real!
So we have our unbeliever says because he's not real. Melinda, do you have an idea why we don't have a good picture of Bigfoot?
That's fine. That's a good answer. Anybody else want to take a guess?
I think that he just doesn't want to be seen, and just like I wouldn't want to be seen if I was Bigfoot. I just wouldn't really want people to bother me.
Great answer.
Yeah, looks like we're split on that. Raekwon and Malone believe he just doesn't want to be seen.
Well, that is likely to be the answer. Because from what we found out, and there are a number of people who have claimed to have actually spoken with Bigfoot, they want to be very private and they don't want to be bothered. So that's right on the money. That's a great answer. Now, if Bigfoot were not real, then why would we – there's a group called BFRO, Bigfoot Research Organization. If Bigfoot were not real, then why would they have reported over 30,000 cases of Bigfoot sightings? I think that's an interesting thing, don't you, Ms. Bohannon, that there are over 30,000 recorded cases of Bigfoot sightings. And then think
that
about
is,
all
pretty
the
amazing.
People that. Right, and it's BFRO, Bigfoot Research Organization. And not only that, but they're out there where you can read them. Now, that makes it a little tough to maybe say Bigfoot doesn't exist. It's not exact proof. But over 30,000 people, that's a lot of people reporting a sighting of Bigfoot, isn't it?
That is, 30,000?
Yes, over 30, as well over 30,000 by now. And I guess my last comment, it's along the same line, is hundreds, if not thousands of books and articles have been written and published on the topic of Bigfoot. Where would the information in these articles and books come from if there weren't real stories about Bigfoot? That's a good question, isn't it?
That is a really good question to think about as we continue our research.
Right. And so what I'm going to do is I have been carefully recording these answers, and I've also I wrote up my answers to these questions so that you would have them, and I will email them to you. So along with the it may take me a couple of hours to get the audio file to you, but I'll send you this transcript of what I have said, your class's answers, and then this document so that you'll have everything together. How does that sound?
That is very helpful. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. I've enjoyed it. Please, hey, all of you students, it was great talking to you. I appreciate your questions, and your group is welcome to call back anytime with more questions. I really liked them, and I thought they were very nice people and very smart.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, it was great meeting you and talking to you, and I will send this email to the other teacher's email address. Is that okay? Because that's the one that I have.
That is perfect.
Well, look, thank you so much for time to interview me, and I look forward to seeing the results, or maybe hearing it if it's a podcast, to hearing the results of your final project, okay?
We will definitely keep in touch.
Thank you. And for all those listening in, this is Ms. Bohannon. She is there with the students. And I'm Dr. John Stamey, the author of the Bigfoot Column and Bigfoot and Company podcast, which we will have today at 4, and we'll have a wonderful guest. So if you have a chance, listen to BigfootandCompany.com at 4 o'clock Eastern today. So thanks very much, and we'll sign off, and have a great rest of your week.
You as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.